Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio. It looks like again, but also very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
We're on iHeartRadio, as well as Stitcher, Spotify, Castbox, Deezer, all the other places. It's the Dark Mark Show. I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian. Trying to do something about this extreme close up, and I apologize. This is going to be a great show and a bittersweet one because our beloved producer, Morgan, it's her farewell party. Mm. And she's going on to other podcasts that people have heard of and other shows that people have heard of with starring people that people have heard of that have been in shows. Oh, hi. How are you?
You're live.
I see that. I got to flip this around. Hold on.
Technical difficulty.
I know. Your phone is working. My camera's not. Hold on. But we pulled out all the stops. We got I would say, and I'm gonna put the camera on my co-host.
No extreme close-up on this side.
There we go. Okay. Everybody's favorite vegan heavy metal DJ Hannah Bach is right there.
Hi.
Okay. Would you say these are two of the best guests we've ever had?
We have so many, but yes, they are up there. Yeah. I mean,
I always have to qualify it.
No, we do. We have a lot of amazing guests, and it's hard. We're very lucky.
Do these two qualify as amazing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay, because right here, to my left, because I'm left-handed.
Hi.
Yes.
It's me.
I always say the most fascinating person in the world. And never met Morgan. You haven't been on since Morgan's been with us since January.
Yeah.
I know we're getting all weepy and she's been there.
I can't remember. It was sometime last year when we did our podcast.
Yeah,
I can't remember exactly when it was.
We did two.
Yeah.
January, you did one with Johnny from Human Drama.
Yep.
And then November, Hannah wasn't here, but mm-hmm. you were on with Marnie the Wing Girl.
That's right. I remember that one.
And Nicole Sex Substituted.
Yeah, that
and,
was the most recent one, yeah.
Yes, Marnie the Wing Girl who said on her podcast, I have no sex appeal whatsoever. But you have sex appeal. That's Sin Twisted.
Thank you.
Sin Twisted.
Thank you. I brought my sex appeal. Just
you did.
Oh, yes, she did. You got the hair.
I tried, but now I got it.
Yeah, now you got the helmet hawk. You got the helmet hawk. And
helmet hawks are sexy.
On you they are.
Oh, you want me to put more in my mouth?
I think Morgan's trying to get on the air sooner than I was anticipating.
Like and then hold it for me while I get my mouth closer.
Oh yes, there she is. And then also amazing guest. Third time you've been on, and I think twice. This is twice with Morgan, but your album Atlantis is now physical copies, in addition to on the streaming sites.
Yes, my album Atlantis is live, and came out a couple months ago. And you can buy it.
Or you can listen to it in its entirety on streaming like I did, and it's amazing. We're going to talk about it, and we're going to talk about what's going on with you.
Great.
There's always something going on, because you're filming a new video. You filmed a new video.
I just filmed a new video, yeah. It was fucking insane.
As your videos tend to
be. Yeah, so it's always, I always go into it being like, oh, it's going to be simple, and then it turns into this giant Baroque experiment.
Yes. And we'll see what Baroque experiment that is. Before we get started, we got to knock this out real quick, especially since you're filming and we may have like a Facebook audience.
I have like low battery, so I'm doling it out.
Anyway, so
I'm going to let mine go as long as it will.
Okay. Anyway, we've got Audible is still our sponsor, and Audible. Sorry.
No, sorry.
What was that?
That's our new sponsor.
Audible. Audible is our sponsor, and you can get a free book. Two Audible originals. Actually, one of the books you can get is our friend Marty the Wing Girl's got a book called Get Insider. If you're looking how to how to pick up women, or if you're looking for something else, they have. I was listening to your album, as I said, Savannah. And mm-hmm. All the songs are great. I think it's a great driving album. I'm going to talk about it later, more detail. But the song that actually made me well up was Ms. Moreau.
Mm.
And Island of Dr. Moreau is on Audible. Not only that, they have a double pack, The Time Machine and Island of Dr. Moreau.
Mm.
And so that's like 9 hours of H.G. Wells you can get free if you go to audibletrial.com/DMS. Audibletrial.com/DMS. But not only that, you get two Audible originals. Stan Lee came out with a story on Audible. That's one of his last stories. They have Alien 3, They have a different strip by William Gibson, the cyberpunk writer. Mm. They've got all sorts of things.
Cool.
Everything from Shakespeare to smut is on Audible. So go to audibletrial.com/DMS. And Hannah, our other sponsor, real quick.
Doomy's Home Cooking.
Yes. 1253 Vine Street.
Mm-hmm. They also have one in Culver City and City Terrace. Also and Toronto, Canada.
Toronto, Canada, yes. The yes. best vegan food you'll ever have.
But yes, best vegan food you'll ever have. They're open to 3 a.m. on weekends.
What was the last vegan delicacy you got at Doomy's Home Cooking?
I think I got the fried chicken sandwich with the chili cheese fries.
Well, everybody's talking about the fried chicken sandwiches. How is Doomy's?
Yeah. It's great. They give you this like sauce with it. It's really good.
Yeah, so it's... If you're looking for that, what's better, Chick-fil-A or Popeyes, which I can't believe that's a thing.
Popeyes, 1,000%
Popeyes.
And I will tell you that I did
Who's
try.
Fucking around with this one.
I don't know. Well, I guess we got a bit of an unofficial sponsor because I went to Doomy's Home Cooking. And unfortunately, they do not have gift certificates.
But they have shirts.
They have shirts. I didn't even think about that because I should have got a shirt because I was thinking I was going to give Morgan, our producer, a gift certificate to Doomy's Home Cooking. But instead, I went to our friends at the Bohemian Tea across the street, which is 7525 Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood, California, even in Hollywood. They're great. The Bohemia Tea Parlor, and I got a gift certificate to them.
Aww.
So I guess I owe you a Doomy's T-shirt, and a Savannah Pope TV, which I was intending to buy as well. Anyway, so let's... both of you have inspiring stories. I'm going to get to Sin's first, because you're on the phone. So Sin, a lot of things have changed. Now, first off, you're always evolving. You're ever evolving. Now,
yeah.
First, you were Sin-fisted.
Yes.
And then you were Sin-twisted.
Yeah. I did the name change about 3 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Then you got the breast implants, so you became Sin-twisted.
No, 2.0. I got the boobs a year before I changed my name.
Okay, so.
Yeah. So I got my boobs, then I went to Dubai, then I came back and decided that I don't want to be Sin-fisted anymore. And I changed it from fisted to twisted.
Right. Which fits more because you're a contortionist and you twist.
Well, yeah, but in a sense, where my name came from was at the time I was engaged and he was a drummer and his stage name was Three Fisted.
Yeah.
So I had won Entertainer of the Year for Los Angeles and was on the covers of magazines and stuff. And a lot of times it was gotten to the point where there was other Sins working in clubs. So, are you the same Sin that works at this club? I'm like, no, there's only one Sin in Hollywood with a mohawk.
That's right.
You know, so I decided to take on a last name. And at the time, I was with this partner. And I thought Sin Fisted sounded pretty fucking punk rock and badass. Yeah. And at the time, my mohawk was in full effect and everything, too. Yeah. So I went with that and it stuck. And then we had split up and the name still stuck. But then I realized it's been 10 years. And I'm like, I don't really feel like I'm a Sin-fisted anymore. I don't really feel like I have that whole type of shitty attitude all in your face. You know, like I used to be.
Really?
Yeah. I used to be a fucking asshole.
Well, you're always nice to me.
Yeah.
Or maybe you weren't. I don't know.
It depends on how you come at me.
Yeah.
You know, as with now, I'll be more polite about it and just kind of turn around and walk away. As with before, I probably would spit in your face and call you a piece of shit. I've calmed down
Please?
A lot in aggressiveness.
Yes,
no, you got to pay extra for that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, some people like that.
All right.
But so I did the name change and I was dabbling with different things. And I wanted it to kind of be the same, but different.
Right.
And I figured Twisted was perfect because I just split my tongue.
Yeah.
So I figured,
which you recommend
and also
to everybody.
with the contortion stuff too, being a contortionist and also being a little bit kind of like on that edgy thing, I thought Twisted was more suiting.
Right.
So I did the name change about three and a half years ago. Yeah.
And now you're Flexi Woman.
I'm still Sin-twisted.
Right.
But for my social media and stuff. But then I have like a private account, which isn't just all like my professional modeling stuff and cosplay stuff. And I have like 4 Instagrams right now. I have my Sin Twisted. There's Sin Twisted, which is my main Instagram account.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Sin Twisted Threads, which is all my costuming stuff and commission work and seamstress and jewelry and whatever else I make.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have Tatted Thumps, which is my foot account for the people with foot fetishes, because I'm a foot model.
Yeah, no.
And
are your feet tatted?
Yeah, my feet are tatted. I got them tatted when I was in Dubai.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No wonder I haven't seen it.
Yeah. And then I have Flexi Woman, which is pretty much like my personal account. So it shows like inspirational quotes and my stupid things like cooking and my garden and just kind of like stuff that's more personal. As with my other account, I have thousands of people following and it's just all like modeling and and the occasional... you know, but you know, you gotta throw them a bone, you know, to keep you still. Because you gotta get those. I hate to say it, but you gotta get those fucking likes. Then you put in the explore feed, and more people see you. And it just sucks as an entertainer and a model because those likes really do affect us. Because there are people who won't book me for a gig because I don't have at least 10K followers.
Wow!
And they'll get someone else who is buying followers who has less experience doing what I do, and I've been doing this for 21 years, and I have experience doing it internationally. As but they're gonna get some amateur. Who just paid for followers and who or is isn't their quality of content is just pretty much TNA. Right. And that's not, I mean, that's a little bit kind of direction I'm going, but I also want to inspire and be artistic and very.
Because you are very talented.
Yeah. So I want it to be more, my whole motto is when I first started, I'm a stripper too. So when I first started stripping as a dancer, my whole motto has been make art, not porn.
Mm-hmm.
Any girl can walk up there and just show her pussy. And a lot of guys are just like, great, seen that, you know.
Right.
But I go up there and I did a whole show. And I was working in nude clubs where I didn't get nude. I would leave on the electrical tape and a G-string.
Mm-hmm.
And I would still make a lot of money. And customers are like, I didn't really care the fact that you didn't get nude. That was amazing, you know. Because I'm folding in half and I'm doing crazy shit all up on the pole.
Right.
And so some stuff I've never seen anybody do.
So that's why I have like kind of multiple different accounts because I have kind of at one point I had everything under Sin Twisted and then I would lose people. It's like, well, you're a cosplayer. You should send an example. And it's porn what you're doing with your feet, you know. And it's just like, okay, I need to separate, you know, the family cosplay thing from the foot fetish thing and kind of have different, you know. So that's why I have separate accounts.
But Flexi Woman has inspirational quotes. It has you meditating and has a lot of inspiration. But you've been really transforming your body as of late.
Yeah. In the past about 5 months, I started getting my health back on track because I have medical issues.
Mm-hmm.
I have Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. I have three different types of it, including hypermobility. And with hypermobility, it means that I don't have collagen in my joints that most people have. So I am stupid flexible.
Oh, wait, let me get that in the camera here. Yeah.
When it comes to doing stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Wow. Oh, jeez. Hold on. Whoa. Ah.
My arms naturally lock hyperextended.
Oh, wow.
And not just a little hyperextended.
And then, you know, that's not just a little hyperextended. So it's actually great for jiu-jitsu because you can't put me in an arm bar.
Ooh.
And if you get me in the arm lock, my arms twist all the way around, so it's easy for me to swim out of it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, it comes so in handy.
You can always get out of the cuff.
Like, go ahead, grab me by the wrist.
Do some MMA or something.
Dare you.
They should make you a superhero after you.
But because of that, I'm prone to dislocations and things like that.
Yeah.
And it comes just because the benefits are, you know, flexibility and stupid soft skin is pretty much the only benefits you get from it. There's a long list of health issues, including I'm easily bruised, scoliosis, asthma, hernias. I have I'm prone to dislocations, so I have my vertebrae and my ribs come out of alignment very easily, which means I have to go to a chiropractor and have it set. So there's just a long list of things, and then my health isn't getting better. Yeah. You know, I'm noticing my asthma is getting worse, my hips and everything. Just because I'm flexible there, it doesn't mean I'm strong there. So that's why I was just like, "Fuck this!" I know there's ways to get my health improved and my medical conditions improved if I just started getting my health on track.
Right.
So I started 2 months just working out at home. So I'd wake up and I'd run a mile, which I couldn't ever do before. I would run like half a block and I'd...
Yeah.
I had to like walk 20 seconds to catch my breath and do another little jog. Now I can run a mile straight without breaking and without feeling like I'm going to die.
Wow.
So I'm slowly overcoming my asthma.
Yeah.
And to help with my hips and my back and everything, I started doing a lot of weight training and deadlifts and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's getting more muscles around my joints. So that way I'll be less prone to dislocations. And also I think it's just very good. I mean, I'm turning 40 this year.
Oh.
So I need to get my health on track. I need to get my health on track. So I'm setting my future self up to have less struggle, you know?
So with all these big muscles, is that's not affecting the all the great stretchy things that you can do?
It is a little bit.
Yeah? What can't you do that you
well,
can do?
I noticed I've lost a lot of flexibility in my back.
Yeah.
From doing deadlifts and things like that. So I've lost a lot of my back flexibility, especially my mid back.
Right.
So I don't think right now if I wanted to, I could do my exercise back bend. Like, I'd have to probably stretch for at least an hour just opening up my back before I could even go into that, and let alone walk in that back bend. So I've lost flexibility in that. And I'm noticing that after I'm, especially like leg day and stuff like that, my hamstrings are the tightest muscle in my body.
Right.
So working the hammies just makes them lock up more. So I really have to open them up in order to do contortion or splits.
Right.
But yeah.
I've seen pictures of... Like you're getting very muscular down.
Yeah,
there.
I mean, so. I'm not like bulking or anything. I've leaned up.
Yeah,
I lost 7 pounds and then I gained 2 of it back in muscle. So
I was gonna say you weren't in bad shape before.
No. And a lot of people were like when I first posted my before, people were like, "Girl, your before is my goals." And I was just like, "No, I get that." But looking at me, you would think, "Oh, she's very healthy." But it's like right. I can't run a mile. I couldn't lift more than 45 pounds from the floor up.
Ooh.
And the last time I did that, I tried to lift up my suitcase into my friend's car to go to Jamaica for a gig I had.
Right.
And I had strained my hernia in my abdominal. Oh. And that whole week, my tummy was itching, which means I knew I tore it a little bit because that's the healing, you know.
Yeah.
So anytime after that, I always ask for help. If anything more than 40, 45 pounds, I'm like, "Hey, can you help me with this?"
Right.
And now I'm deadlifting over 100 pounds.
Yeah.
And I'm not having any issues or strain or feeling like I'm overexerting. And now I'm figuring out form and how to lift with my legs and not with my back and not with my abs.
And the big guys in the gym are taking notice that you're... You were telling me a story in the car.
Shoulders are getting stupid, especially when I'm working out. I get the lines that go in my shoulders when I'm working out.
You almost dislocated them there.
So I was doing some like shoulder work, and one guy, one big dude, kind of stopped and looked at me, and he gave me one of these. He's like. You get that pump on.
Yes.
And I'm looking at him like, "Fuck, I need to tone this down a notch."
No, stop.
I don't want it to be like too much. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right,
I want to be fit, but I still want to be feminine.
Yeah.
I want to be fit, but I still want to have my curve. You know what
of
I mean?
Course.
And that's the one thing I do love about having Ehlers Danlos is that I have a little bit of, I have stretchy skin. I get really excess stretchy skin, and people don't really understand that. So it's like, I might have a 4-pack, but I still have a lot of excess stretchy skin.
It's the best of both worlds.
So I still get that kind of curve, so I'm not like super ripped and super shredded, because I don't want to be too ripped.
I was going to say, how far does this transformation go?
No. For me, it's just overall health and just being able to like lift things by myself and be able to do things by myself. And again, having the being able to breathe again and, oh my God, stamina. Like there's been times in the past where it's like, especially because like I said, I can't run and so my breathing is just shit, but you don't know how embarrassing it is when you have to like stop in the middle of intimacy and be like, "I need to hit my inhaler real quick." You're like, "Give me a second." No, I'm good. Just 1 second. It's a little embarrassing.
It could be taken as a compliment.
Trust me, that's what guys would be like. I was
banging her so hard. She had
I'm wearing her out. She can't take it.
Oh my
she
God.
Got to hit her inhaler.
It's embarrassing to
that's
me.
That's not embarrassing.
It's embarrassing to me. You
know
what I
mean?
It's just like, you know.
So the guy's like, "Yeah, I made her hit that inhaler. Get that puffer out." Now, you have had your own... your own transformation, because I just saw, and I can't believe it's been this long. You've 5 years sober. Because I remember when you first started your journey on sobriety, and I knew you then, but I didn't like we never hung out that much that I knew that there was a problem.
I think I met you before. I think initially when I met you it was before I got sober.
Yeah, no, you.
Yeah.
I met you before you got sober.
Uh-huh.
So I remember when.
Yeah, I think I was really fucked up when I met you.
Oh, well, that would explain a lot.
I think I was probably really fucked up the first time I met you, too.
I'm sure, I think everybody was.
I was, too.
I've got a picture of you. That's how we met.
Yeah.
You two,
yeah,
I don't
remember. Yeah, we met at Bar Sin, didn't we?
Oh,
that's where I met him.
You met, no,
a lot
I,
of you met at Bar Sin, too.
No. I met you at Bar Sin. Uh-huh. I met you, I don't know, I think Club Hell.
Well, oh, maybe it was Hell.
I think I met you at Club
Hell. Oh, I miss Club
Hell.
You
met you at Bar Sinister. You're mm-hmm. like, yeah, you got to have me on the show. I got so many stories. And then,
get me written out of the will.
And then you became co-host. You came to one of my shows at the CIA. You weren't coming to see me. You're coming to see one of the bands I was performing
with.
That's
right.
I don't know if that was a
I remember you talking about being turned on by tits as long as there was a nipple somewhere in the mush. And I was like, Jesus fucking Christ.
No, what I was saying was,
as long as there's a nipple in the mush, it's fine.
First of all, I did not say nipple in the mush.
You were talking about
it. I know the joke. The joke is, I've never been disappointed looking at a male breast. A lot of women do not like their breasts. I've never been disappointed looking at a male's breast. I could see my grandmother's bingo partner coming out of the shower. As long as there's a nipple in the cottage cheese, getting aroused.
Not, thanks for the visual.
Well, no, I just want to clarify, nipple in the mush.
I think I preferred mush better.
Me too. Not,
well, I'll change it.
Cottage cheese.
In
my subconscious.
So we met there, and then I happened to be walking down the street one day, and you're like, I know you, you're a comedian, you're funny. And then... Like I was like, okay, who's that? And
so
then,
it's all blurry, you know.
Yeah, you were that night you were drunk. I mean it was 2 a.m. I was walking somebody home from a bar, so I'm sure I was too. Mm-hmm. And then you came up on something on a Facebook feed, and I was like, oh, that's that girl. And so I went to see. Because you were in Space Cream at the time, and then I went to see.
I remember meeting you at Bar Sin, and I remember you were like you were flirting with me.
Yes.
See, I remember you hit on me.
I'm sure I did. Well, then there must have been some time in between. In between, yeah. And how did that go?
I think I was in the midst of something at the time.
Oh, okay,
so,
good.
You know.
All right. Yes. No, no, I've flirted with you on many occasions. You're a beautiful woman, and I know you've got a boyfriend now, but still.
I think at the time I had a really shitty boyfriend, non-boyfriend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, a trash bag.
He was garbage. He's a Trump supporter.
He's
now.
He's a trash bag.
He's a trash bag. But he did fuck like it was his job, and he had a machete.
Do.
He had a machete with Nazi blood on it, which is really ironic that he's now a Trump supporter.
Well, no, I don't think that's not ironic at all. That makes perfect sense.
Well, no, it was one of his ancestors had killed a Nazi.
Oh, had killed a Nazi.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So
I
think, you know, it's...
All right.
It's weaponized ignorance I'm dealing with at the moment.
What?
Anyway.
Did you have to reach for a puffer or an inhaler with him, or?
No.
No, okay. So anyway.
They're always the most toxic ones, aren't they? They're really good in bed, but they're just the most.
Well, also, there's different kinds of good in bed. You know, there's also different kinds of sex. There's different kinds of, you know, I mean, all of that. And
I'm the other kind of good in bed, I would like to say, but who knows?
I don't know. I mean, listen, I'm probably going to embarrass my boyfriend, but I'm happy to say I'm having like the best sex of my life right now with someone who's very good to me. And
that's good.
It was really important to me to find out that being like a kind person isn't necessarily synonymous with like being vanilla or, you know, like passive or anything like that.
Right.
It's just not how it works. It's just people like what they like.
Yeah. Well, good for you. Good for you guys. Thanks. Yeah. So anyway, so like I say,
Chris.
No, we can talk about fucking all night. I don't really care. But yeah, no, I had a crush on you. I had a crush on. I've had a crush on every woman in this room at some point or another. But anyway, so I didn't know. I went to see you when you auditioned with Space Cream audition and won the spot on the Warped Tour.
Yeah,
and then we've been friends ever since. Mm-hmm, so that's kind of how it goes.
Yeah, because you're a sweetheart and you're funny.
What can I tell you? See. And Don't judge me by the mush joke.
You're the nipple in the mush.
I'm the nipple in the mush. Yes. So anyway, when you announced on Facebook, and let me just ask you, is it better that you can announce these things on Facebook, or would you rather have strict anonymity with these type of things?
I think, the whole thing is you can't say which. You know, if you are in a 12-step program, you're not allowed to say which one you're in.
Right.
That's the most important thing because, you know, if you go out, they don't want you to besmirch the name of – they don't want you to – people to think that if you join, then you'll go out and, you know, fuck up your life.
Right.
I don't say which one I'm in. I think my sponsor would probably prefer that I don't speak about it at all, but – I don't know. I just think it's great. And I actually think it's a really important topic of conversation. And listen, I'm a performer. I like attention. So, you know, I'm sure it's wrapped up in all kinds of shit. Right. But
I was proud of you then and I'm proud of you now.
It's also a very healthy and positive thing. So I think it's important to talk about things, especially if it's something that you had overcome,
To me, it was really heartening to know that people that I thought were really cool and creative and interesting were sober.
Yeah.
Because when I was fucked up all the time, it was a huge part of the fuel of my material and just the chaos in my life that led to fuel in my material.
Yeah.
And so I was just really afraid that my creative life would be incredibly stifled if I got sober.
Because, you kind of feel like you rely on it in order for it to kind of fuel you and your work.
Mm-hmm.
You're self-destructive for your art.
Yeah. And, firstly, what I've learned is it does not take drugs or alcohol to make you self-destructive.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly capable of that in any state.
Yep.
And then beyond that, having some degree of lucidity actually really helps in terms of just the amount that I'm able to create and the way that I'm able to look at it objectively. And like, for instance, I just went into the studio a couple weeks ago. We laid down the instrumentals for four new songs, and one of them I went into the booth to sing, and it just kept faltering, and it wasn't working, and I came out and I was like, fuck, what's wrong with this? What I knew I wasn't ready to record this. I didn't want to come in and do it, and I felt, but the guitarist thought I was ready, and and then I really sat down with it for a second, and I was like, you know what, my lyrics aren't good enough. My lyrics are not good enough. And the producer who I've known, I actually met the producer when I was in rehab.
That's the other thing, you get connections.
Yeah, I hit on him. And he was like, all right, junkie street child, come record music. So he's known me for, since before I got sober, and he's sort of seen this. It's not really about like you stop doing shit. It's like, listen, if you can get fucked up and be fine or like have a good life or whatever, like power to you. If I could smoke weed recreationally, I would 1,000% partake. It's just, it doesn't work that way for
me.
Yeah.
So, and so for me, like I don't really want to get fucked up anymore. So it's more just about like sobriety for me is more just about like developing as a person and like learning to cope with being alive, which doesn't really come naturally to my state.
If you had an issue with alcohol and it actually came to a point where it's actual alcoholism,
right.
A lot of that addiction isn't like, we're not addicted to pills, we're not addicted to alcohol, we're covering up trauma. We're trying to numb ourselves and mask ourselves from it. And that's something that I realized too, because I had an issue in my early 20s with meth for several years.
Oh, yeah.
And I just, my body looks the best and I'm doing even making more money on stage because I have more energy and I can but I woke up and I just didn't like the way I was feeling.
Yeah.
And I tried quitting multiple times, and it wasn't until about maybe like at least the second year into like full on, I guess I would call myself a meth head, even though nobody could really tell. It's just, I did it a couple times a week. I'd be up for a day or two, then I'd pass out for a day.
Right,
Binges, and then I'd be cool, sober for a few days, and I'd get fucked up again on the weekend because it's the weekend, I'm working, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and a lot of it is taking me, especially after I quit, to realize that it's just like, okay, no, it's actually, I'm trying to like erase some things in my head, and I'm using it as a masking thing. And I think a lot of it with the abuse of substance has a lot to do with traumas and PTSD and things like that. So, and I think it's very important that like with you and for myself to acknowledge, hey, this isn't healthy for me. This isn't the direction I want my life, my body to go. I need to make a change.
Yeah.
And so I think that's fucking rad. And it's a lot of people don't understand, oh, well, they're addicted to this and they're addicted to that. Oh, they're just a crackhead or they're just this. It's like, no, these are hurt people.
They're really sick.
Mm-hmm. They've survived some fucked up shit that you don't know about, and you need to be way more sympathetic supportive for people who are battling these horrible addictions. Because it's easy to fall into that, especially if you're hurting.
I think it's really easy, and I think there are different types of addiction. I mean, I personally believe that some people are like actually medically addicts, yeah. You know, like they're just, it's just a part of their makeup. I think other people just kind of go through periods of that and they're able to get out of it. I think for people who are, like, I consider myself to be a genuine addict, and there's just a lot of stuff from the time I was really little that's just very clear to me that that's just, it's a part of my DNA.
Yeah.
And for me, I think it's really important for people to understand that it's, that it really is a disease, and it's the same as having, you know, cancer or,
Toxic.
You know, MS or whatever. Like, it's not something that you're choosing to go into. It's, you're really sick.
Yeah.
And it's not discerning. It's really not a discerning disease. And it's a really interesting, cunning disease because it tells you that you're not sick.
Yeah.
I don't know,
it's
any
like,
other
no,
disease.
You're fine. Yeah, you're fine. And when you take this, you are even better.
And
like,
that's
look
the thing
at
about,
how much more people like you and right. how much this is going for you and da-da-da. Yeah. No,
and that's the thing I think people are so unempathetic when it comes to any kind of mental illness. And the thing with any kind of mental illness is it tells you that you're, you know, a lot of it is it tells you you're okay.
Yeah.
But you're really sick. And so I just have a lot of empathy for people who are ill, you know, whether they're famous or not, you know. Even before I really kind of dealt with my shit, like I just remember like watching paparazzi follow Amy Winehouse around when she was like puking in the street and just being like really sadistic.
Yeah.
It's creepy.
Yeah.
But anyway. But
if you make it.
Yeah.
It's good that you'll be sober.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Paparazzi be following you around.
Yeah.
Filming
we'll
you puking in the street.
I, you know, listen, I'm with you. Like, I try to put a lot of kindness and greatness into the world. But if someone genuinely harasses me, like, I will punch a paparazzi.
Oh, yeah.
I'll fuck you up. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You two in hand, yeah. I know. If someone gets in your face.
You know, I ain't a Buddhist.
I go to the throat, so.
Speaking of that, now, are you going to go to Mexico for Halloween again?
Huh? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
The woman who's producing it right now is pregnant, so I'm not sure.
Oh, well, tell them what you did in Halloween last year in Mexico.
What did I do? What was it? I mean, I
are you spitting blood?
I work with Cirque Le Sueur, and it's the same circus that booked me when I was in Dubai for 3 months.
Right.
And I lived out there for 3 months working for a circus out there. And then a couple times a year, usually about for Halloween time, I get booked with them. And we go down to Mexico, and there's a group of us, and we all go down to Mexico. And they have different performers as far as, like, burlesque performers, sideshow performers, mm-hmm. Drag queens. Mm. And just they want a spectacle. So they fly us down to Mexico City, Mexico. And this is my third year going. And so they always have me spitting blood and doing contortion and this last year I was doing putting my body through a tennis racket. That's a new one you haven't seen yet. I could put my body through a tennis racket.
I've seen you put your body in the suitcase. Your body in a little R2D2 thing.
I've seen
you guys got to see her before. It's amazing.
R2D2 well, thing?
There's a little R2D2.
I worked in a Star Wars burlesque show and I actually came out of R2D2 and it was like a big like the way they set it up, it would be like first string of girls and an intermission. And then right after intermission, they have a costume contest. Mm-hmm. So they bring people up on the stage. So as they have all the people up on the stage, I sneak behind those people and I crawl inside the R2-D2 unit. Mm-hmm. Then they do the whole costume contest and whatnot. Then they have, all right, we're announcing our next performers. We have the droids. And first up comes C-3PO, and she does her little robotic dance. And normally after each performer, they're like, okay, give it up for C-3PO. And next we have whatever. But that didn't happen. Her song ended and she shimmied off stage and then mine started and all of a sudden the front of R2-D2 opens up and the whole crowd freaks the fuck out because they're just like, there was someone in there the whole entire time. They're like, how did she get in there? How does she fit in there? How long has she been in there?
Right. Jesus.
So it's just kind of this whole mind fuck. So, they had
so you're not claustrophobic, perfectly. I take it.
Not really. I'm pretty comfortable like holding myself.
Yeah.
My only thing is with the suitcase, with the R2 unit was actually like spacious for me, like I could have a shelf with cocktails and shit. But with my suitcase, I have less. I have maybe like 1 full minute of air once that suitcase is zipped up.
Ugh.
So I have to have a good communication with my handler, whoever's doing stagehand, that whenever that curtain's closed, and they announce my name, once they say we give up for sins, would they hurry up and zip me up and then move the fuck away? Because then my music starts and I give it like a good 10, 20 seconds and people are just like, all right, what the fuck's going on? Then they see the suitcase start moving and then fingers come out and I unzip myself and then I come out of it.
Great.
But I have maybe 1 minute of air in there. And then after that, it's my own breath. So I'm just like, Like, you got hot and sweaty in that thing.
Have they mistimed that on occasion?
Once.
Yeah.
We had an MC who was too busy trying to order drinks at the bar, and I'm sitting in the suitcase. We actually had to unzip me, and then they had to get someone to go find him. And they're like, dude, we have a fucking performer literally hanging out in her suitcase waiting for you to announce her, and you're sitting here just trying to get drinks at the bar. Like, he wasn't taking the job. It's like, you don't fucking realize what's going on.
I could have died.
What other small spaces have you squeezed into?
I fit under, like, one time me and my friend were traveling the Greyhound bus. So you get the two seats sitting next to each other, right? She was a contortionist too, ex-gymnast. So what we did is I had a hoodie. So we would just take turns curled up in a ball. One would sit on both the seats. The other person would sit underneath on the ground, curled up. And we actually were able to sleep like that and take turns. So we're not just cooped up like this. We can actually extend out a little bit.
But you actually fit underneath a Greyhound seat?
Yeah.
Jeez. That was pre-breast implants, right?
I love testing myself when people are like, hey, can you fit in that? I'm like, I don't know, let's find out.
Let's see.
Is there something that you want to try?
Now?
Guitar
case, I want to try my mini fridge at home.
You can climb my guitar case.
Make sure someone will try my mini fridge at home.
Oh, mini fridge, okay. Now, you were talking about also, because I wanted to get to this last time you were here, but the cosplay.
Yeah.
Because I've been to a lot of Comic Cons recently.
I love going to cons.
I know, but it's weird because the last few cons I've been to, the actual cosplayers are signing autographs now.
Oh, it's been like that for years.
Are you one of those that signs autographs too?
There's been a few times that I've had my own booth at a convention, very small conventions.
Yeah.
Where I sell prints. I worked with one small group that was doing raffles and stuff. So I had this thing. It's just like, if you want to take a photo with me, it's $1. $1 to take a picture with me, and you get a picture with me. And that enters you into a raffle. And with the raffle, you could win like comic books signed by so-and-so or bobblehead signed by so-and-so. Just come back at the booth at this time and we'll do a drawing. So they got their raffle things and their money, and then we split the money equally, and I got mine for my photos. And a lot of times the people who took a photo with me would just give me a couple extra bucks, just like, no, don't worry about it here, just keep it.
Yeah.
And then I also like sell prints and stuff like that too.
Right, because I was surprised when the first couple times I saw it. I'm like, wait a second. This isn't Wonder Woman. This is somebody dressed up as Wonder Woman.
Yeah,
this is,
yeah.
But I guess
there's a lot of cosplayers. Celebrity cosplayers now. There's what they call it, cos famous. And different people become cos famous for different things. There are cos famous people that I follow, like Kamui Cosplay and Yaya Han, who are actual builders. So they do like EVA foam, and they're seamstress, and they do these huge, amazing builds. And Yaya Han now actually has fabric at Joanne's Fabrics. She's taken her career to a whole fucking...
Are you a celebrity cosplayer?
No, I'm not. I'm not. And then there's other cos famous... cosplayers who are famous for pretty much just dressing in cosplay for TNA, which I kind of find a little borderline hypocrite when it comes to the cosplay community, because a lot of the cosplay community, when it comes to the cosplay events that they hold, I'm not going to name any names, but they will not hire me because I used to be or am currently an exotic dancer.
Okay.
But yet they can allow cosplayers to sell nudes and lewds and first-person point of views of them being groped and grabbed topless, and that's totally okay because it's on Patreon and they're in cosplay. But I'm in a place where it's adults only, 21 and up, and there's no photo, no video, but that's not okay because you're a stripper.
Right.
So we can't hire you and have you represent us. But we're going to have someone else who pretty much shows more to more people.
Yeah.
And that's okay. She can do that.
So what?
There's a lot of hypocrisy when it comes to that. But a lot of girls are just pretty much wearing like, you know, I'm wearing like a green bikini and a purple headband. So now I'm a Ninja Turtle. And it's like, no, you're not a fucking Ninja Turtle. Just because you're wearing the same goddamn colors, you're cosbounding, doesn't mean that you're cosplaying. And it's just like it's this whole TNA thing.
Yeah.
And I get it if that's what you're into, but that's not the direction I'm going.
Right.
I could go that, and I could have tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of followers because of that. But that's not what I'm about.
Right.
And that's the reason why I don't have as many followers as others people do. I mean, I don't mind showing a little bit, but that's not my whole premise of things.
Right.
I feel more sexy when I'm wearing like Maleficent or Catwoman, when I'm covered head right. to toe and I have this fantastic thing on, and that's when I feel more empowered.
Right.
Not when my tits are out. When my tits are out, I'm just like, ew, get that 5-year-old to tell your child to stop looking at my titties.
But I mean, it's just be honest. It's a day job. You're trying to pay the bills.
Exactly.
And it's like me going to an office.
Yeah.
What
I really hate is the stigma attached to what I do for a living, right. And they think that just because I'm a stripper, then that's what I am. It's like, no, that's what I do to pay the bills. I've gotten to a point where, like, it's easy fucking money. And like we were saying, I only work 3, maybe 4 days a week, and I only work 5-hour shifts.
Mm.
And I can go fuck off and get a contract in Dubai and come back and still have my goddamn job. Now you find some other job that will allow you to have that leave time and come back and not replace you and say, yeah, it's totally fine. Come back. You're totally welcome.
The puritanical shit that we live with is ridiculous. But I think any form of work, even, you know, I wouldn't consider stripping sex work necessarily. Some strippers that I know do, but I don't know how you categorize it. But
it's weird being considered a sex worker because it's just like you're just looking at. I'm a topless dancer.
Right. You're not having sex.
I mean, regardless,
I'm not having sex, but I get it. People are aroused, but in the same sense, like, should people who model underwear for Macy's be considered a sex worker because someone's looking at that, jacking off to that?
Right. I mean, to
so
me,
where
it doesn't.
Is that line?
To me, it doesn't matter. All that I care about is that the person who's showing themselves in any way or being exposed in any way feels like they have agency.
Yeah.
Like, that's all that we should be concerned with.
My whole thing is it's not if they're being forced to do it against their will.
Exactly.
That's my whole thing.
Exactly.
It's like, if you're a willing participant and that empowers you and you want to take it to whatever, if you want to be fucking that nasty, dirty bitch, then fine, be that nasty. If that empowers you, then be that person. But if you want to take it all artsy and pole and whatever, like what I do, then that's how I feel and that's what empowers me.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody has their own style and their own thing. But again, it's just that whole stigma attached to it. And that's one thing I have a hard time when it comes to like dating and relationships and stuff is a lot of people can't get it past their fucking head that it's a job. I don't bang my customers. I don't go home with them. Yeah, I have a couple of their numbers so I can, hey, I'm working this time and this time, and they bring me weed and money.
Right.
It's just ridiculous that somebody
wouldn't book me up for a comedy show because I'm an insurance agent. I mean, it's just ridiculous. That's what I do to pay the bills. And are you really
an insurance agent?
I'm not anymore. I work in skincare now. It's a whole thing. But that's what we do. I mean, it took me a long time when I was a kid. Even when I started doing comedy, I thought, okay, everybody just makes a living in show business. And then when you get into it, you're like, oh, everybody's got a day job or everybody's got a side hustle.
Yeah.
Because you have to.
I think nowadays everybody has to have a side hustle. With the way our economy is, I don't know anybody who has like one job and I can totally take care of myself and my family with this one job. Everybody is an entrepreneur these days.
Hmm. Right. Your day job has to do with the arts, but it's still a day job, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I actually quit my day job.
Oh, okay. Well, good for you. And you should, because is Atlantis doing that well that you can do that?
No, not really. It's just I had some money saved up, and I'm doing a lot more. I mean, it really is. It's not like I'm performing and then making all my money that way. I have a side hustle in the sense that I'm constantly promoting myself online and like pushing, you know, merch and whatever. And I'm about to do some like actual just promo tours where I'm like going around and I'm not even necessarily performing. So in that sense, it is a side hustle because I'm not necessarily being creative. I'm just going around making money that way.
Well, what I'm saying, and I hope this doesn't happen. I hope it's nothing but clear sailing from here on in. But if times get tough and you gotta have a day job, there's no shame in it.
Yeah. No, and I've worked a lot of day jobs. I just happen to not be in one now. But
that's great. That's great.
Who knows? You know, in a couple months, that could totally be different.
Well, on the way from work, I was listening to Atlantis. I hadn't listened to it all the way through. I had just gone, you know, a song here, a song there, and I was very impressed. I like the individual songs, and Hannah, when you hear it for. In its entirety. And by the way, you're doing bad at the side hustle because I was
going to
buy 3 CDs for you.
I know,
for Hannah, Sin, and Morgan. But
I know I was doing straight hustle stuff today, and then I forgot my side hustle stuff.
I guess
I'm
have to buy a Savannah Pope t-shirt. I saw those too. But So, but it's Hannah, you would really like this album, and I'll tell you why, because it's harder rocking than I thought it would be. The first song is, what's the first song?
The first song on there, I believe, is...
There's seven songs.
Is it Just My Luck?
It's Just My Luck, yes. Yeah. And there's seven songs, and it's not like Tool where it's seven songs, it's 80 minutes. There's seven songs, and it's
some
like...
Some of them are fairly long.
Yeah, well, it's like, what is it, 40 minutes, 30 minutes?
Yeah, it's about 40 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, that's an album.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. Like Tool, yeah, it took us 13 years to make an album, seven songs. Great. Oh, it's 80 minutes. Oh, Jesus Christ.
If it were Pink Floyd, it would be 5 hours.
I like Tool, but I'm listening to that first song. I'm like, Jesus Christ, get to the point. But
Just My Luck is basically
Just
a metal
My Luck
song.
Gets right to the point.
Yeah.
And it was co-written by, and we have to get them on the show.
Oh, yeah.
One
you
of
do
the guys
great.
From Gacy DC. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with Gacy DC?
I've heard of them, but never heard.
Oh, you got to see them.
No, I remember hearing the name before and being, that is. Fucking genius.
It's even more genius than you think, because they, and I saw Savannah open for them at the Viper Room, and mm-hmm. I wish I saw more of them, but I was on with this fucking date.
Yeah, you missed the blow up, the dick float.
Yeah, I missed the blow up dick, the whole thing. But they take AC/DC songs like Problem Child and rework the lyrics. And the lyrics are, let's be honest, they're sexy, sex crazed lyrics in a heterosexual way when AC/DC does them.
Yeah.
When Gacy/DC does them, they're sex craze,
yeah,
homosexual lyrics, yeah. Like Daddy's Child.
Oh, or Let great. There Be Rock is Let There Be Cock.
Yes.
Yes.
See, I'm always saying that it's a long way to the top if you're sucking cock and balls.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
I think they might have stolen your lyrics. But anyway, so you wrote that with them. The guitar player from Gacy/DC?
I wrote... not necessarily. He just kind of helped rearrange it. But he definitely helped it to be like a better, more pop-worthy song. I don't really write with pop in mind. And he's got more of that mentality. He's got more of a earbug mentality.
I was going to say it's more classic rock than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that in a good way.
Thanks.
I was saying it's a good driving album in the sense that when I go on road trips, you know what I like to listen to? ZZ Top.
I say okay. Good old classic
ZZ
rock.
Top. You put on some ZZ Top, you're like, it just the rhythm goes with the road.
It's definitely got like a classic rock kind of feel to it. There's right. even like elements of metal in it, and then
yeah,
and then every now and then it just fucks you up, and then just it's just me and a bass and a cello. So I right. don't know, you know. The great thing about going solo is I can do whatever I want.
Right.
So I just sort of celebrated that with this album.
Well, that's I mean, it's the first. Their first couple songs are like I say, it's like an R&B singer fronting a hard rock band. It's like, you know, it's like Patti LaBelle singing Led Zeppelin or something. And then, awesome. Seriously, you've heard her songs. Am I that off base?
No, you're not. You're yeah. fantastic. I mean, I heard her live.
Right. And then you got Superstar, which is a very, very, it's a queenish sort of mm-hmm. glam, like big song. And then Ms. Moreau, it was just my favorite, which is probably not a surprise to you.
I would have thought you'd love Daddy Issues.
I like Daddy Issues too, so trust me, I like Daddy Issues for a whole different way. But I've always liked Daddy Issues. I think I heard Daddy Issues before even you were solo. I think I heard it with Space Cream.
Mm-mm. No, Daddy Issues is pretty new.
Okay, all right. But Superstar is an anthem. And then Ms. Moreau is the gothiest. I would say
Miss Rose is definitely the gothiest. Yeah,
because you got kind of a Joy Division, New Order sort of bass line going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it rocks hard again, and you get Rock and Roll No More, and mm-hmm. it's an album. It's very cohesive.
Thank you.
And like I say, you put that on the road, and then before you know it, you're there, and you don't have to listen to it on the road. You can listen to it anywhere. But how is the reaction to the album?
The reaction's been really great. I mean, right when I put the album out, I got named Best Hard Rock Performer in LA, which was, really
That's
amazing.
Awesome. Congrats.
And I don't know, you know, basically.
And all those guys were jealous. All those hard rock guys hanging out at the Rainbow.
I don't know.
Yeah, who's this girl? Is the best hard rock?
I definitely get mansplained to a lot about music, which right. is, and then hit on, which is just the most maddening combination to me. But, you know, whatever. It was really great, and I got a lot of really positive responses, and especially now that I'm doing a lot of like one-on-one outreach to people, because mm-hmm. it's just something that it kind of just struck me that within our economy, like you were saying, we have to really make a lot of effort to, it's not just going to come to us. So I've started doing this thing where, you know, I put my music out there, I advertise it, and then when anybody, you know, like comments or responds or shares it, I just reach out to them and thank them. And I've mm-hmm. gotten, people are really thankful to hear from an artist, because right. like, I think there's this fake sort of partition between mm-hmm. us and, mm-hmm. and people watching us.
Yep.
And it's not really real. Like, we're just people. Right. And I've had the most amazing conversations with people where people, you know, one guy was like, I've been in a tailspin depression, like mm-hmm. suicidal, and Creature got me out of it, you know. Wow. Like I spent hours of therapy talking right. about this song and which is very flattering right. although I'm like, that sounds expensive.
But where's the furthest away? I mean, have you hit Japan? Is Europe? Have you heard from people in Russia?
Definitely heard from people in Europe. I've had some people in France asking for, you know, like signed photos and stuff like that, which mm-hmm. is really cool. I'd use Google Translate to talk to them.
Right.
A lot of people from Canada, oddly enough.
Yeah.
Which makes me really happy. I don't know why, but I've been getting a really great response from Canada.
Well,
we
actually have a pretty decent Canadian audience, so you might hear some more.
Oh, cool.
But, I don't know. Hannah gets all the fan mail, not me, but...
It's hardly fan mail.
You've got quite a few admirers, but and nobody reaches out to me. But anyway,
check your spam box.
It's all my spam box. But I was going to say now, Creature and Ms. Moreau
mm-hmm.
both examine maybe you're a hybrid of a human and an animal. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I mean, I think I like to play around with what I call magical realism, which nobody really thinks of outside of literature, but I think of it in terms of mm-hmm. a lot of different kinds of art, which is taking something that's sort of absurd and making it seem kind of normalized right. and as a way to express, you know, different kinds of problems and subjects that are too big to really grasp directly and right. whatever. So, I mean, for instance, Creature is really about kind of me coming to terms with like being with a lot of, you know, trash fucking boys,
trash bags,
trash bag dudes.
Yeah, like, everybody say, that's what I mean.
A string of trash bag dudes, and then realizing like, oh, I'm putting myself in this position over and over, and I have my own part in this, and there's something I get out of it clearly, and I've got to like fucking deal with it,
right.
you know, and so it's just sort of like looking at somebody in this demonic light, and then realizing like, you know, I have as much of a part in it as you do,
right.
So, you know, it's just using some symbolism for it. Miss Moreau is, yeah, it's definitely a human animal thing.
Now, what animal do you relate to? What animal are you? We're all a little bit of everything.
Pegasus.
Pegasus?
That's
Pegasus.
A good answer.
Mm-hmm. What about you? What about you, Hannah? What animal are you?
I have no idea.
You don't know? You've never thought, like, I'm an animal?
No.
So I think of Sin as a snake.
Yeah, I think of me as a snake too.
Yeah, because you're just so flexible and you can
kind of
weave your way around.
Also, my jaw can dislocate.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Damn.
No, it's shown that. This is the most fascinating person in the world. I'm telling you.
Ooh, amazing.
The things you can do.
You like slack it down a little and fuck with it.
Ow.
Yeah.
What about you, Mark? What animal are you?
I don't know. It depends on the day. I don't know. Maybe
depends on the day. Yeah, that's true.
Depends on the day. I actually it's a. I think of myself as a cuddly koala bear.
I was going to say a black bear.
Yeah, so
I was
going to
say a black bear.
I'm sorry, Mark, I'm not ignoring you. I'm trying to get this live, but I'm like an old person when it comes to technology.
Well, you're actually doing it at a good time because can you believe it's been 52 minutes already?
Fuck off. There's no way.
Yeah, it's right here. Look at that.
I'm
52
like,
minutes.
No.
So this is Morgan's last show. So, I wanted to make sure that Should we do Sin? I think Sin's getting ready. So
yeah,
now, still talk. So it's gonna take me. Okay, so
we got a couple treats.
As I'm like pulling.
We've got a couple treats for everybody, especially Morgan. So this is a Sin. Now this Sin first did this. You've been in a lot of videos. Now you
I
were.
Have.
You this is first done
on a monster. No, sorry,
Black Label Society
music video, Suicide Messiah.
But you've been in Black Label Society videos.
I was on Black Monster Label Magnet. Society, Monster Magnet.
RZA, but you got cut out.
Yeah, the RZA, Dead Girls Corp, which right. is a local Hollywood band.
Right. Piss Ant, her friend Josie Cat, you were in her
oh,
video.
Oh, yeah, Piss Ant.
Oh, those are amazing.
Thank mm-hmm. you. Yes. Hi, thanks.
Yeah.
They're my jubblies.
It's very heavy metal magazine.
I need to move my chair. Yeah. This speaker's in my titties way.
Yeah, let me, I'll look at it. Hold on. So... This is, I'm going to get, this, and Morgan, we're going to have to get you in here at some point.
She can come, I don't know.
What is going on?
You can come
here's
this.
What's going on. Well, she's putting on metal breasts.
I want to squirt this all over your ass.
Yeah, or wherever, whatever body part you would like.
Okay, it's going to get loud. Okay, so.
Okay.
It's going to be loud. It's going to be fiery. It's non-allergenic. It doesn't ignite. Mm-hmm. It won't hurt you.
Right.
What it will feel like is if someone had sand on and goes on your skin. Okay. So you'll feel it bounce off you, but it won't cause any pain or anything like that.
So real talk, if I'm going away from the board, how loud is this going to be?
It's going to be a little loud.
Why don't you do it first so she can get the levels down, and then we'll have you come out.
The dog and I are freaking out.
No, I'm sorry, puppy.
Well,
I'm sorry. I'll get off the leash.
Okay, go to the table, baby.
Okay. This is grindcore. She's doing grindcore right now.
If I had a brand new one of these, the sparks would be a little bit more intense. But considering it's worn down a little bit, it's a little more dull, which is fine for us being in here.
Yeah, it's a small studio.
Yeah, because otherwise it'd be like fucking 14.
Come on, more. You want a little spark action? Power grind. Yes.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Oh, we love it, Sin.
Hot titties. Hot.
We love
hot,
it.
Hot titties.
Hot titties.
All right, puppy, that's it. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, that's not it. I mean, that's it for the. Yeah,
loud,
for any other show.
Noises.
For any, how are the metal titties? Are they hot?
They're hot as fuck right now.
Yeah.
You gotta be careful with
yeah,
those.
Yeah. So no, I have a nice scar on my.
Oh.
I was gonna ask you. Yeah.
It's the reason why I wear these now.
And they look good.
I got tattoos, so I can't fuck up my shit no more.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Sorry. No, sorry. I'm over here.
What's
now.
The latest tattoo you got?
I'm still working on my Kali Ma on my thigh, which you can't really see because I got pants on.
You got pants on.
Yeah, pants on. Yeah. So.
Well, we look forward to that.
I've done two sittings with her, and I'm finishing her on the third.
God, you look cooler than Xena in that whole outfit.
Really cool. I feel like the world's hottest, most fucking industrial fembot. It's very empowering.
I love the smell.
It's very, I like
yeah.
it.
It's yeah. weaponized
yes.
creativity at its
yeah.
finest.
Yes. Yeah.
Excuse me.
So,
fabulous.
We need to make an action figure out
hot.
Of you.
As I said, for any other show, that would be too much entertainment. But we've got Savannah here. And I asked you to be here.
Someone's phone is here.
Sin.
Oh, that's mine.
Mine's right here.
Oh, that's mine.
Oh, no, mine's filming us.
I'd have you on every week if I could, but that might be a little too much. But I would have you on every week. But Morgan had actually offhandedly, Morgan, you had offhandedly remarked what a great voice that Savannah had a couple weeks ago. So I was like, wait a second.
You.
If I was going to, and we're going to talk to you in a second about our best guests, but this is definitely one of them. And I know we're running out of time, but we've got
Facebook Living, so
Yeah, just turn it this
how
way.
How do I switch it, though? Do I have to do this?
Yeah, you just do it like
there's
that.
No button?
Mm-mm. Sorry.
Should there be
there I don't know.
Be. So anyway, so Savannah is going to sing for us.
Okay.
I hope.
All right, so here's, this is an old song of mine before I started.
Before you went solo.
Yeah, no, before I even went into rock.
Oh, wow.
And I just kind of remembered it the other day, and I was like, oh, it's really pretty and fucked up and kind of sweet all at the same time.
It's the best kind.
Pretty yeah. fucked up sweet like everybody in this room. Including
exactly.
the dog.
Exactly. All right, so it's called Kaleidoscope. I am calling you. I hope the signal is coming through. Hey, did you know we're bathed in radio waves all the time? You just don't notice, cause they go as fast as light. But take a look in my kaleidoscope. Everything you knew cut into tiny tropes. Wide-eyed ingenue and sea of color exploding the way we used to explode for one another. Back in the day when we used to screw, up in your building's attic, I think the rats and the cockroaches knew what we were doing, but we lied and said the noise was radio static. Strange how lies turn true over time. Green and chartreuse fade to black and white. And me and you and these fragments collide. Collide in my kaleidoscope.
Beautiful.
That was awesome. You have such a beautiful voice.
What did you think, Morgan?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that was so nice.
Well,
I don't know if I did you justice, though. I should have moved a mic closer to your guitar before we started. That was my bad.
Oh, stop.
Oh, it's all right.
You'll fix it in post. Anyway, Hannah, that's why we're here. It's after 8 months, we're probably never going to see Morgan again.
I mean, we're going to see you again.
Okay. Tell us what's so special about Morgan, Hannah.
You know, like when I first met you, you're just you connect with people, you know, with their energies, and you're just so open to everything that was on the show and all of our guests, and you connected with all the guests as well, and you just, your family.
Oh, yeah. By the way, speaking of guests, Amazon Eve, the world's tallest model, said that she wishes you the best success in life. And Ann Hodder Schiff, the sex expert, she's another one of your favorite guests, said it was a pleasure to work with you and wish you success in your next venture. Now, now we're going to get, if we can, get Morgan on the mic for a second, because I want to ask her a couple questions.
Yay.
And talk about her podcast, Burst Your Bubble. Do you want to use that mic or my mic? Or?
I'm going to figure this out. I'm burning my Zoom so I can make sure.
There she is. Well, she's been on camera
Hello.
Before.
I don't like being on camera.
Before. Hi. I just think you're behind the scenes. So tell us, who else, what other guests you liked on the Dark Mark show?
How do you choose favorites? That's like choosing a favorite child. You can't, because you love them all.
Right.
Right? That's all how it works.
Yeah. There hasn't been any guests you haven't loved?
I've loved all of your guests.
Yes.
You know that.
Right. So, but Morgan has her own podcast. By the way, did you get the inside joke?
The inside joke? Oh, I didn't see your Scarface tie.
Yes, I was. I'm wearing a Scarface tie because Morgan has a show called Burst Your Bubble.
I didn't
it's
even see that. Well, in fairness, your back is to me.
Right, well, I was facing you when we were in 7-Eleven, and I said,
oh, I was so out of it.
And I mentioned to the clerk how much he liked Scarface, too. Right. He's only seen it in French.
Guys,
anyway,
it took me like 10 minutes to figure out that I wanted iced tea. I wasn't noticing anything.
It took you 10 minutes to figure out it was in the same store as you.
That too.
But Burst Your Bubble takes things that you love, everything that you love in pop culture, and tells you how politically incorrect and messed up it is.
I mean, that's one way of looking at it. Yes.
How do you look at it?
I look at isms and phobias in pop culture. And I think you can still enjoy something even if you know it's... It's about thinking about stuff, right? I feel like I did not sound good on this. Hold on.
Well, tell me you pulled
a
yourself.
True producer through and through.
Yeah, she's listening to her own voice saying it's not cool.
Well, it just, so much better.
See?
Sorry. Well, no, because we have different voices, right? Yes. So there we go. I feel better.
Okay.
Sorry, that was distracting me.
Yeah, burst your bubble.
It's isms and phobias in pop culture, little bits of history thrown in, and it's just because I like learning because I'm a huge nerd, and I share it with other people. But it's one of those things where the only reason I figure out this happens is because it's stuff, like it's media I consume.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, if I'm watching it, it doesn't mean I'm never going to watch Scarface again or like people.
You're never going to watch Scarface again. I know you're not.
Well, I'm not a huge Scarface.
That's what I'm saying. That's the one.
Okay, that's not a good example, but like Clueless. I love Clueless.
Yeah.
It's a terrible
What is wrong with Clueless? Well, yeah, the incest. That's right.
Well, no, not even that. It's just like if you're thinking about...
technically related.
Yeah.
Right?
That's still messed
it's weird.
Up.
It's weird.
That's
I'm adopted, and that's
weird.
Weird. Okay.
Who are we to judge
I'm adopted, and that's weird.
Yeah, would you...
We're not related.
Yeah, would you?
And no,
yeah.
I would not. Because that's weird.
Right. Did you have a brother that was...
I had one brother that was related to me, and the other two brothers weren't related to me.
Yeah.
And two sisters that weren't related to me. And
so,
no, I...
So
and I'm,
bisexual.
And I'm
like
bisexual.
That, but, yeah.
And no, I wouldn't hook up with either of my non-blood related siblings.
That's
no,
nice.
That's just weird. That, to me, they're my brothers and sisters. I grew up...
Yeah, what's wrong with...
You know, ironically, I don't really actually talk about that part a lot.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, but they were bringing it up, and I'm just saying.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah, yeah.
Hey,
no.
What's wrong with Clueless?
There's a lot when it comes to, like, class and race and gender and homophobia, like, sprinkled throughout. You'll have to... Y'all will have to just listen to the episode, Burst Your Bubble.
Yes, I that one I have not listened to. I've listened to...
Yeah.
I've listened to a lot of them.
Are you referring to Oscar Wilde and Disco Dance and Friend of Dorothy?
It's really funny, yeah.
Ridiculous.
I mean, I love Clueless.
It's
like, I'll still watch it. It's not one of those things where I'm like, I don't know. Sometimes I think people hear about the podcast and they're like, oh, you just hate stuff and you just ruin things. And I ruin things. Like, I'm not going to lie. I know I'm ruining things. But I still watch that. Like, I'm still going to watch Clueless.
Right.
Like, even, I did an episode on the Rolling Stones. I still am going to listen to the Rolling Stones.
Right.
But it's about thinking about media and its messages. Like, that's my jam.
Yeah, awesome. But Rolling Stones are pretty messed up when you...
Oh,
when,
yeah,
when you
but
look
but they make catchy pop music.
They're
I'm not going to lie.
Every artist.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Really
yeah. you can find something wrong with everything. That doesn't mean you should, like, go in a room and shut off the lights and never listen or watch or read anything.
Yeah, my favorite actually was you did a show on Candyman, the horror movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like black people finally got their own horror villain, mm-hmm. and you're like, it's messed up.
Well, I'm really excited because they're doing a remake, and it's directed by, I'm terrible with names. What's his name? He did, thank you. Yes. Yeah.
He's
directing a remake of Candyman, and I'm so intrigued because the original director is, I'm terrible with names, guys. It's
that
not just
guy.
Tonight. but the original's directed by, like, a white British dude.
Yeah.
And whereas I'm really interested to see his take.
As was every movie in 1992.
Sure.
But, now, what bubble would you burst on the Dark Mark show? There's got to be a lot of bubbles that we burst that you're like that's not right.
That's like every episode.
No, not everyone. There's definitely been a couple times where I just sit silently and I can't think of like direct examples off the top of my head. I'm not a good like off my.
I've seen you a few times. Just what was
yeah,
that?
Like, yeah, like, oh no, I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna say that there's right. not. I just can't think of them like off the top of my head because I can't. Like, if you ask me for five a list of top five, like something I was a complete expert about, I'd still be like, I can't think of that
okay,
off the top of my head.
You guys have Joy Villa on here.
We did have Joy Villa
yeah.
on
Ooh.
Here.
And, that was yep. That, yeah. That's exactly.
But here's the thing.
That's a lot to unpack.
But here's the thing. And Joy Villa has been a friend of mine for years.
I thought she was such an interesting guest.
But she's
though.
An interesting person, and if you don't talk politics with her, she's amazing.
Well, even
she's
if
wonderful.
It's just,
and she
even
and Morgan
if you do
got
politics,
long breaks.
I thought she was so interesting. We almost did a show together, but it didn't work with my schedule with her. But I think what interests me the most is like. I didn't know what to do with her because like she was vegan and a Republican and like married to an immigrant, but like pro. I just didn't know what to do, and I think she's so interesting.
No,
I thought she was really cool.
And here's the thing, and this is the thing with me as I try to avoid talking politics with any of my friends. Mm. So she's still my friend, and I'm not going to apologize about it. But my problem was I had her on a show with another Republican who was a friend of mine. And they started yelling at me when I was agreeing with them. That's what my problem was.
Yeah, I don't mind talking politics with people, and like I think it's important to talk about politics with people, especially if they don't agree with you. I'm one of those. I'll talk with anyone.
I remember the days nobody gave a shit about politics, and I long for those days.
Yeah.
Well, we live in a time where objectivity isn't really a luxury that we can
right.
afford.
Either way.
Yeah.
So anyway, but I was gonna say. That'll be enough. You don't have to. But
I forgot the camera was there, which is good.
The camera's there too. You're gonna be on YouTube. But anyway, but there were a lot of we had a lot of shows that I'm sure you were like the first show you were on. We had Ron Jeremy, and then you could do a whole show on him, and then we had second show we had a guy who, and have you ever done this in? He ate broken glass.
That was
no, I don't
he
do
had a
that.
Light
no,
bulb.
I don't do that.
You don't do that.
No,
okay.
I once had to do a gig doing contortion on stage right after someone who just walked on glass.
Oh, shit.
Was there blood everywhere?
There wasn't blood everywhere, but there was like little bits of fucking broken glass still everywhere. And I'm like, dude, you realize that I'm folding my body into a full fold.
Yeah.
And I could have a shard of glass in my spine and it can fucking... I always think of the worst possible fucking scenarios.
Yeah.
And I hated it. I had to have the producer like go up there and actually sweep the floor twice because I was like, I could still see shit. Like,
yeah, they should have put you first.
Exactly. I was like, you should put me up first knowing that I'm going to be barefoot and folding myself
right.
into a pretzel and then do the glass after that.
Or he should come with like his own mat or something.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is like sometimes they don't do that. They don't bring like a fucking sheet or
if you're
working
with broken glass, clean it up. Anyway,
if you're doing anything messy, clean it up.
I always bring
a tarp.
Well, anyway,
always.
I could talk forever with everybody we're at 72 minutes right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I will say that as you said, people have noticed the audio quality difference because of Morgan.
Huge, yeah.
And but there's also the the energy in the room. And I encourage everybody to go to Burst Your Bubble, on any podcast medium that you're on. Although we gotta get you on iHeartRadio and the other ones, but
I am on iHeartRadio.
Are you on iHeartRadio? Great. I Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't see you on Spotify. Anyway,
You're not looking hard enough.
I guess not. But Burst Your Bubble. So I will Even though I hope to see you again after tonight. I don't know if I will, but I will listen to your voice every week. And thank you for you're overqualified for this job by long shots, because I could go into your radio experience, but we're running out of time. But thank you. We've been so lucky to have you, and we've been lucky to have everybody in this room. And Sin,
yes.
We've been lucky to have
you. I'm
going to
film you while you film me. I'm filming.
Yeah, look at
film.
That. This is a whole meta thing.
It's a fucking inception.
Yeah, it's a whole meta. It's battling cameras. Sin, I know you always have a long list of things going on. Go ahead and shoot.
Yes and no. I mean, I'm still working over at the Candy Cat 2 in mm-hmm. Canoga Park.
Right.
And I'm still taking commissions over at Sin Twisted Threads on Instagram. So right. If you want any type of custom costuming or
Anna.
Whatever, hit me up.
Yes.
I can work within your budget. And it doesn't matter where you're at.
Yeah.
but as far as the feature stuff, it's been kind of like slow right now. Usually October it starts picking up. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I might have a gig for you in September. So
sweet.
Okay, we'll talk about that on the way home.
Yay!
And then sintwisted.com is where we're
sintwisted.com, and you can find me on social media. Just look for Sin Twisted. You'll see a picture of my mouth with my two tongues.
Or Flexi Woman, or
you can be you
tattoo
can be
feed or whatever else you're looking for.
Yeah.
Love that.
Oh wow, they go in different directions.
Yes.
That's one I haven't seen before, the different directions.
I haven't seen that either. How does that happen?
Yeah.
Is that just what happens when you split your tongue, or is it you?
Well, you know, if you can kind of... Well,
everybody learns different tricks, so...
Yeah.
But yeah. That's one of the first things I actually unintentionally started doing, was pretty much just making out with myself. It's a lot easier to do it with your mouth closed, but with sticking your mouth out and doing it, it took a little time to be able to...
Mm-hmm. Wow.
The most interesting person in the world.
So they're constantly feel like the fly when they land, they're doing this. I'm like scheming over here.
Scheming with your tongue. I like it.
And Savannah, what's going on with you?
Like I said, I've got an album out. I've got these really beautiful first edition CDs that I'm selling. Mm-hmm. I'm signing them. You can find everything at savannahpopemusic.com. I'm also very active on social media, so that's at I am mm-hmm. Savannah Pope. And
any live gigs coming up? Because I'm still kicking myself that I missed the Troubadour show.
Yes, I've got a really big one. Actually, it's presented by Gibson. I'm going to be I'm going to be performing at the at Gold Diggers on Santa Monica.
Okay.
It's kind of this new, like, super arty, great venue, and so there's going to be it's pretty lush. We get to like pick from the Gibson showroom. It's going to be really amazing sound and everything, and it's going to be a really big show. That's September 16th at Gold Rush.
Well, I will be there. And I'll try to get everybody else there. That's not a Thursday, is it?
It's a Monday.
I'm there.
Monday.
Mm-hmm. We're all going.
I have Mondays off.
Let's go.
Do it.
I'm into
it.
Oh, it's going to be weird. This is going to be pacifiers.
In my head, I'm like, don't be Friday,
Morgan,
Saturday,
Morgan, how are your
Sunday.
Mondays? What are you doing? Okay. Well,
yeah.
I think we'll be going on.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So,
and Hannah, go to HailHannahBox666.
Yeah.
Instagram. On Instagram. And goth comedian on all social media. We're not going to have a show next week, but we got a great show in a couple weeks. Everybody have a wonderfully creepy week.
Bye, Morgan.
Bye, Morgan.
Bye, Morgan.
Bye, Morgan.